Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
So glad to meet with you once again, and God's given us another wonderful day. And we're one day closer to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back and sit on his throne and rule this whole world and turn it into a paradise. But meanwhile, we have the Word of God that tells the future, tells us everything about the Lord that we need to know. And so we have some distinguished guests. First of all, we have Clark Block here, who is smiling because he's been married about, what, how long now?
3 months and 1 week.
3 months and 1 week. He's got to get it right because Kathy's listening. And then my good buddy Al Davis, and he's pastor of Richfield Bible Baptist Church. What do you have to announce today?
Well, we've actually got our anniversary service coming up. I didn't get the chance to tell you that earlier, coming up this weekend. And if somebody would like to hear some good singing, Eric Howitt, some of our listeners know Eric Howitt. He's going to be with us this coming Sunday at our church for our anniversary service. And I'm not asking people to ditch their own church for ours, but you can come in the afternoon. He's going to be with us in the morning service along with Dr. John Yingling, the General Director for Baptist International Outreach, which is a faith independent Baptist missions agency. He's going to be preaching for us in the morning service at 11 o'clock. And then we're having a dinner there at where we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at about 1 o'clock. And then at 2 o'clock, we're having a free gospel concert. And free, that's a great word today, isn't it? And Eric Howitt will be singing. And godly music, uplifting and glorifying the Savior. And he will be singing at about 2 o'clock, probably about an hour and a half to thereabouts. And then we'll have some fellowship and refreshments afterwards as well. So go to your own church. Don't miss your own church for our church. If you don't have a church, by all means, come and visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Richfield Holiday Inn Express is where we meet, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. And if you have your own church, go to your service and then join us for the gospel music concert with Brother Eric Howitt at 2 o'clock. So we'll be looking forward to seeing you.
That really sounds interesting. And I tell you, those Baptist buffets, they could put on any other restaurant out of business. And then good singing and good fellowship, and that's what it's all about. So that's at Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and I sure thank God for Al, and I sure thank the Lord for Clark here being. And we're going to have Brother Tim Huth, who is Pastor Stofall Baptist Church, on with us today. And he's a man that I highly respect and love as a brother in Christ, and he's a great blessing also to me. Now, we're going to start off today, and I simply want to make this announcement before I forget it, but today we're going to, I want to mention about the book called Hazardous Materials. We mentioned this book before, Greek and Hebrew Study Dangers, and this should be, when it comes to the Word of God, this should be the book of the century. Because it covers the Greek text, what is being taught, who are the authors of these texts, and I think I'm going to read some of the chapter headings here, and I think that every preacher really should read this book and understand and know what is going on. People say, "Well, I'm going to check the Greek." Well, and these guys on radio and television, as we said before, they'll say the Greek says. Well, there's 24 Greek texts circulating, and then also there's all kinds of Greek lexicons, that's Greek dictionaries, that are circulating also. And in this book, it tells who's writing these. Many of the people writing these things are not even by any biblical standards Christians or born again. And so this gets right to the bottom, and it's like almost like a large dictionary. An encyclopedia on the subject, but it's over 1,000 pages, but it's interesting, entertaining reading. Now, if you're interested in this subject, why you would want to read this. Now, the people in the Ostrich Club, of course, would not want to read this book We talk about the ostrich club. They sense danger, and they dig a hole and put their head in a hole, you know. And so if they, you don't want to be confused with the, your mind's made up, you don't want to be confused with the facts, you wouldn't want to read this book because it would certainly disturb you and give you a bad conscience maybe. And but we talk about these books because that's what this program is all about, is upholding the Word of God, which is the authorized King James Bible. And so we get these out, and I don't get a penny for advertising these books. We do it as a help to our listeners. And so I want to read some of the chapter headings on this book. At Greek and Hebrew lexicons, who's who? Greek lexicons by members of the Corrupt Westcott and Hort Revised Version Committee, Strong, Thayer, and Scott. So the book talks about these individuals, and of course you know of Strong's book, and it talks about him, and it quotes these people and tells who, what they believe, and so on. Strong's delusions, dangerous definitions in the back of his concordance. That's the next chapter. Logos, Bible studies, Hoff's software, Liddell, Scott, Greek, English lexicons. Now, people making money off this stuff, they wouldn't be happy with it either. The next chapter, Little Scott, Greek, English lexicon editor, Thayer's Greek, English lexicon. And she quotes Thayer in here. He's a Unitarian, denies Jesus is God, and yet he's used for the modern translations. Corruptors of New Testament lexicons, Trench, and he certainly was unreliable. And then Westcott and Hort Revived, this is the next chapters, Moulton and Milligan's vocabulary of the Greek New Testament. You find about their strange and unbiblical beliefs, Vine's expository dictionary. And all this is documented. And then it talks about Kenneth Wiest, and he is following Thayer number at times, and it goes into it. But yet it is very interesting to read. Marvin Vincent, Marred and Sinbent, a trial connection, Walter Bauer's lexicon, and this is what they're correcting the Holy Bible with. And you read what these people believe, you read the quotations, and it's very highly documented. Then you have the textual heresies of Scrivener, Trinitarian Bible Society's Little Leaven. Basically, that is, the Trinitarian Bible Society is set up to uphold the true text that has come down to us from Christ and the apostles. That is called the Textus Receptus, or received text, and it was copied in Bible-believing churches from the time of the apostles of Christ and been used ever since that time. It ends up in the King James Bible. You are aware that each one of these Bibles, they don't come from the same source. You always hear the Greek text. Well, there's lots of Greek texts and dozens of them, and they don't agree with each other. And that's why we have this program. But God has given us a Greek text. That's about 99% of the evidence. It's called the received text, and it has come down to us, and it's been copied in the New Testament churches. And then we have something about the text of the Orthodox Church, Zodiades, Byzantine Empire, and it talks about that. The New Version Child Molester and the New Version Committee, he's one of the writers of that. Moral Hazard and so on, Translation Committee, Dennis Palmer, Testament Lexicons, Genius Old Testament Hebrew Lexicon. Learn about the King James is based on the Hebrew Masoretic text that came down pure to us. And by the way, one Jewish society in the 19th century said it would never be superseded. In other words, nobody could possibly do a better translation of the Hebrew. And today, in one museum where they have the ancient Hebrew text that lines up with the Masoretic text, they use the King James to show the English equivalent. And I've heard Jewish speakers, as I've mentioned before on the program, that said that when they weren't sure of a word, even though they were born in Israel, they would say the English Bible, meaning the King James Bible, they would tell the meaning in there. We have discussion of Brown, Driver, and Briggs, Hebrew Old Testament critical text, Hebrew Masoretic Old Testament text, Trinitarian Bible Society, the occult and Catholic origin of Greek and New Hebrew focus. And so the Scriptures to All Nations, translating seven proofs of the King James Bible's inspiration. And this book is a masterpiece. When it comes to Bible believers, it should be the book of the century. And it's over 1,000 pages of tremendous work. And Gail knows how to make it interesting, make it simple. And that's why she was picked to represent the United States in World Scholarship. She's a godly lady. And one time I was with her when we went in a store, and she's giving out tracts to people, everybody there, as we were going into the store. And she's consistently lived for the Lord. She's been married to her husband for 29 years, and recently he has gone to be with the Lord Jesus. So this is a godly person with God has given great skill to her. And sometimes when I read her writings, it's almost like, seems like the Holy Spirit's witnessing into her ears. I read recently, I read books on this subject by every author I can get my hands on. And some of the leading writers like Mr. Geisler, who was trained by the Jesuits, and got his Doctor of Divinity from them. And I was reading his book with some of the leading writers on authority, and it's so much man-made wisdom. I mean, it's man's thinking. But you read this book, it's what God says about it. I mean, it's just loaded with Scripture, and she can take Scripture from all over the Bible. And my preacher friends tell me that she's in a class all her own. I mean, it's a masterpiece. And so, why am I talking? I'm not making a penny on this, and I want to bring that out. I am promoting this book because if you are a Bible believer, or you pastor, or even if you don't even believe what we're saying on here, you ought to read this book. It's the latest evidence on this subject worldwide, and it's quoting many scholars from around the world, but it's evaluated from a biblical standpoint. I'm going to ask Brother Al here to give the address where you can get a hold of this.
All right, Bruce. Yeah, it's available online. You can go to avpublications.com. That's avpublications.com, and that will get you in touch, or well, won't get you in touch. That'll get you to the website where you can see this book and others. And also, you can find out where you can download the material. You can also call, let's see, 800 number, 800-435-4535. That's 800-435-4535. And you can write at AV Publications. That's AV for Authorized Version. AV Publications, P.O. Box 280. That's P.O. Box 280, ARAT, A-R-A-R-A-T, ARAT, Virginia, and the zip code is 24053. That's zip code 24053. And you can find all that information at avpublications.com.
All right. I just want to say this, too. Many of my preacher friends have really expressed a high approval of this. Now, there's a lot of criticism of hers because the devil's out there, and I'll tell you, if there's anybody he would hate, it was her in those writings because they're really so good. But Christians, without advertising on some large television network, have shown their approval by telling people about this book and passing it on and other books, and she has sold 500,000 copies of the books that she has written. So God's people recognize what she has done, and God has blessed her tremendously. And we simply say this so that you can be informed on this subject, and that's what our program is all about. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to have Brother Huth on the phone. But right now, I want to give a prophecy. One of the proofs that the Bible is God's word is the prophecies of the Bible. I want to talk a little bit about that. Jesus said, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. When I went to Israel, they wanted to see a passport. It told where I was born, what I was doing, picture, and all of these details. And so when God took on a human body, and it says God was manifest in the flesh and justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world. When God came into the world in the person of Jesus Christ, he had a passport. And it was 39 books of detailed information, and it states it in so many ways. But one of the ways is picture of historical people that actually existed that picture what Jesus Christ would be like when he came. And one of the individuals is named Joseph. And Joseph, recently, they had his tomb in Nablus in northern Israel, and it was called in ancient times Shechem. And he was buried there, and it was called Joseph's tomb. And recently, people went into the tomb to see what they would find. And when they went into the tomb, they found a mummy that obviously was Joseph, because it was the body was mummified in Egypt, brought up to Nablus, and not only that, there was a large sword that only top officials in the Egyptian government had. And so obviously they have found the body of Joseph there in Nablus, or what used to be called Shechem, in the Bible. Joseph said, "Take my bones out of Egypt." And so this Joseph was talked about and is a picture of Jesus. And I want to mention some points about Joseph before we go on. Now, first of all, Joseph was a descendant of Abraham. And God had told Abraham that his seed one day would be a blessing to the whole world. And so his seed eventually ended up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the greatest blessing the world has ever seen. He is a blessing in that he has given us the way of salvation. And all of us, because of our sin, are doomed to separation from God in hell. But Jesus Christ came. He was God in human flesh. And he died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, he was punished for every sin that we have ever committed. And the Bible says that when we die, we're absent from the body, present with the Lord. And when we see God, we'll see him in great joy. Why? The Bible says he is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We're going to meet God without any record we've ever sinned. Our sins have been counted to Jesus 2,000 years ago, and his perfect life has been counted to us. So Joseph was a descendant of Abraham, so was Jesus. Now, Joseph prophesied of his future rule of Israel. And he talked about seeing a dream, and in the dream, why the brothers of his bowed down to him in that dream. And then he saw the sun in another dream, sun, moon, and stars bowing down before him. And Jacob said, "That sounds like you're talking about your father and mother and your brothers." And because of that, the dreams that he had made, and because of the love of his father, his brothers became very jealous of him and began to hate him. And so he was hated by his brothers. Now, Jesus said that he would rule over Israel one day and they would bow down to him. And so they hated him just like Joseph. And so he was hated by Israel. And even today with many, many in Israel, you see the ACLU there, it's backed up by millions of dollars. And they just hate that name of Jesus. They try to get it lawsuits to get the name of Jesus taken out. They don't want anybody to use the name of Jesus. But the Bible says that Israel is still loved by God because of the fathers. And the Bible is very clear on that also. And so he was hated by his brothers and rejected by his brothers as Jesus was and is rejected by his brothers. But Jesus was particularly loved by his, Joseph was loved by his father. And it says this in this passage, and his father loved Joseph. He was the son of Rachel, and he made him a coat of many colors, which you have heard about. And when Jesus was on the earth, he was on the mount, and the voice of God spoke out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved son, hear ye him." And so we are to listen to Jesus. And they said, "Well, let's make a tabernacle for you and for Moses and Elijah." And that's when God says, "Listen to him." Because Moses and Elijah talked about him, but Jesus was the Son of God. And so he was loved by his father. And then he was hated by his brother. We talked about that. And then he was sold by his brother for money. Now, his father sent Joseph to inquire about the welfare of his brothers. And so Jesus was sent by God the Father to inquire the welfare of his brothers, that is, the Jewish people. And Jesus said that he was sent to the house of Israel, primarily when he was on the earth, although his death was good for the whole world. And so when Joseph came, they said, let's get this dreamer and let's put him to death. One of the brothers said, no, let's not do that. We'll put him in a well. They put him in a well, and then the Ishmaelites came back, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites for a certain amount of money. And so Jesus was taken and put in prison, and then he was sold by Judas, just as Joseph was sold, and Joseph being a picture of Judas, of Jesus. And then it states all the way through, Joseph had God with him. And I thank God, when you get saved, you may go through a lot of trouble. And all of us do. Recently, I went through many different troubles. And yet the Bible says, although we can't see it, God has told us in his word that he is with us. And the Bible says that God was with Joseph through all the troubles, hatred of his brother, being sold into slavery, being a slave of the police captain in Egypt, and then taken and put in prison, and having to spend time, and it just seemed like God had deserted him, and sometimes it may seem like God's deserted you, but we have the word of God that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And story after story that actually happened, history shows that Almighty God allows us to go through trouble, but God works it for good. And so God was preparing Joseph in all the problems he had to eventually become ruler of Egypt. While he was in prison, he interpreted some dreams. And later on, Pharaoh had dreams in Egypt, the ruler of Egypt, one of the great countries in the world at that time. And he dreamed that there was some cows that he saw, and these cows were fat and so on, and they were well fed. And then another group of cows come up. I think it was seven. Is that right, Brother Al?
Yeah, I think seven.
And another
yeah.
seven, and they're real skinny. And they eat up, these skinny cows eat up the fat cows. And then he sees these stalks of corn coming up, and the seven ears of corn, and they were well, healthy corn. And then he sees these blighted corn come up, and they ate and devoured the healthy corn. And so the Pharaoh didn't have anybody to understand the dream or interpret it, and so he was discussing it. And one of the men that had been in jail with Joseph, and he, by the way, Joseph was slandered, and he was charged with something he didn't do. He's actually charged with the rape, and that's one of the worst things a young man could be charged with, particularly a godly young man like Joseph. And so he was put in prison, and so he interprets the dreams. And one of the guys in prison, when he heard the Pharaoh discussing the fact that he didn't know what the dreams meant, he told the Pharaoh about Joseph. Joseph came out and interpreted the dreams, and Joseph suggested what should be done. And the Pharaoh put Joseph as second in command in all of Egypt. And the Pharaoh said, everyone will bow the knee to Joseph. And once again, we have a picture of Jesus, because Jesus is second command after God the Father. And he is going to be, as Joseph ruled Egypt, Jesus is going to be the ruler of the world. Right now, even Satan is setting up the government that Jesus will take over. The United Nations and many of these organizations are setting up the world government. But when they have it set up, our Lord is going to take it over. And I believe that with all my heart, because of the many prophecies that are fulfilled, and the very fact that they're setting it up fulfills prophecy. And so Joseph is second in command in Egypt, and the Pharaoh says everyone will bow the knee to Joseph. One day the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. And if Hitler is there, and he is going to have to bow the knee and say, he is going to have to say Jesus is Lord, and he doesn't say it loud enough, somebody will kick him in the back and say, speak up. And Stalin will be there, and Mao will be there, and the presidents of the world, and they will say, Jesus is Lord. And I was thinking that when I think about this communism that attempted to wipe out the knowledge of God with their concentration camps and Solzhenitsyn said over 100 million murders and all the killing and everything that went on, and controlling the news media, controlling the newspapers, magazines, education, and their missiles and bombs. And one day, Jesus just said, that's enough. The whole thing collapses. And Yeltsin, that led the revolutions, gets on in front of the media and says, this Christmas, we will celebrate the and honor the birthday of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. And I'm telling you, this whole old world, one day, all the world will celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will do that on the Feast of Tabernacles. People will come to Jerusalem and praise and honor Jesus. Well, it says God was with them. And then Joseph was married to had a Gentile bride. Her name was Asenath, and she was his bride. And so Jesus has a Gentile bride, but it's also made up of Jewish people too, and that is the church. And he is married to us. You know, salvation, Jesus paid for all of your sins. Salvation is simple. And Jesus has said, I do, to everybody. Come unto me, all you that labor. It's not the church. It's not your good works holding out to the end. It's not Buddha, Confucius, Mohammed, Zoroaster, Laozi, or anybody else. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way. And he's the creator of the universe, and he showed it by his incredible miracles when he was on the earth that hundreds of thousands of people saw. And he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I do to you. That's what they say at the end of a marriage. Preacher says, will you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband? And she says, what? I do. Says to the man, will you take this woman? He says, I do. And he says, I now pronounce you man and wife. I don't care what your sin is or what you've done in the past, according to the Bible from cover to cover, if you say I do to Jesus Christ as your Lord, he has the right as God Almighty to tell you what to do. And as your Savior, the one that died and paid for your sins, Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And right now you could say, Jesus, I accept you as my God. Please forgive my sins and take me to heaven. And you're as sure of heaven as if you've been there a million years. Jesus said, all that the Father gave me, I've lost none of them. Not one person did he ever lose. And so thank God for our Lord Jesus. So Joseph was a prophet. And he was a prophet. He predicted the future. Jesus is a prophet. And Joseph was second in command, as we've mentioned already, in Egypt. And Jesus is under the Father. And he is going to be the ruler of this planet from Jerusalem, Israel. And that's why the whole world's attention is on Jerusalem. And the world is divided over who controls Jerusalem. And God says, that's my land. That's my city. That's the city of the great king, and Jesus will be the one that controls this world. Well, we have a break, and we'll be back with you in just a minute.
Can a church hold a meeting in a public park? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I have a question. Are we allowed as a church to conduct Christian tent meetings on a city park here in our own city?
Well, first of all, you know, city parks have been what's called the traditional public forum, and those are places that are open for freedom of speech. And religious worship service, even evangelistic outreaches, are constitutionally protected speech activities. So in a public park, you may have to get a permit or let them know that you're going to be there because it's going to be a large undertaking. But yes, those public parks are automatically open for free speech activities. In the next few months, there's going to be more questions on this, but outdoor evangelism is constitutionally protected. The Supreme Court's been consistently unanimous in that regard. So no problems there other than going through the appropriate procedures and policy.
Find an affiliate, subscribe to our podcast, or listen online to our half-hour radio program, Jay Sekulow Live, every weekday at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Most of us are addicts, and most of us are addicted to the same thing, Hello, I'm Chuck Swindoll. We actually encourage one another to stay addicted because, frankly, it's nothing to be ashamed of here in America. I'm referring to the addiction to work. You know, we not only honor work, we idolize it. My friend, give it a rest. Take that time you need with your spouse, with your kids, with your whole family, with the Lord. There'll always be more work. Besides, the only man I know who got all his work done by Friday was Robinson Crusoe.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
All right, we're back with you, and we're going to take calls in just a few minutes, but I want to start off and talk to Pastor Tim Huth. And before I talk to him, though, I'm going to ask Brother Al to give us the phone numbers to call in. And in about 8 or 10 minutes, you can call. We don't have a lot of callers on the line, so we'll probably get to you. Okay.
All right. That telephone number, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673 is the toll-free number. And if you have difficulty with that, you can also call the regular line, 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933.
All right, Pastor Huth, are you on the air?
Yes, sir, I am.
You on your phone? Okay. You're on the air.
Yeah,
okay, if you're
right.
On your phone. All right. I simply want to introduce Pastor Huth. He's someone that I highly respect, and he is loves the Lord. And you might have seen some of the big office buildings in Akron, Ohio, if you live in that area. And he was the builder of those things. He has so many talents that I don't know sometimes if I can name them all. But he is pastor of Stowe Falls Baptist Church, and I just had a wonderful weekend down there with him at the church. We had great fellowship together, and he treated me just great, and we spoke there, and we had a discussion on Monday night. We had sat around the tables, had refreshments, and then we talked about the Authorized King James Bible, and people were giving us questions. By the way, if you're a pastor out there and you're interested, or even anyone that's interested in it, I've talked to him already, and we could come and at any time, and we could give a discussion on the subject and have people throw questions at us. Now, recently, he has taught on biblical authority dealing with the Bible issue at Cleveland Baptist Church, and he was picked to give the graduation ceremony at Cleveland Baptist Church, and he is a teacher there at the Heritage Baptist Institute, and he talks about biblical authority. So he knows something about this subject, and I want to start off and ask him some questions, and then you could get some questions that you might have, and we'll talk about those. But first of all, preacher, could you give us something about your salvation experience and how you were saved?
Yeah, well, you know, I was saved when I was 6 years old, right in a Sunday school class. I remember it vividly, Mrs. Robinson giving the gospel, and, and I bowed my head there at the end of that class and trusted Christ, and was raised in a Christian home, thankful for that. Right around, 12, 13 years old, we had some challenges at home, and we stopped going, at least I stopped going to church, and didn't go back till I was 21 years old. My wife and I, we had two children at the time. And it didn't take long, hearing the preaching of the Word of God. I knew there were some things I had to get worked out. And that's when I really began to get really serious about my Bible reading and my Bible study. And from there, it's, we've been growing and enjoying what the Lord's doing. He called me to, I got interested in studying the Bible, and actually ran into a pastor. I was doing some work on his house up in Stowe, Pastor Dave Lanham. He's with the Lord now. And I told him I was interested in learning a little more about the Word of God, and he directed me actually to Heritage Baptist Institute, and he said, hey, there's a man there that probably is more knowledgeable about the King James Bible than anybody ever heard. He said, you need to go hear him. And so I did. And well, lo and behold, that was Bruce Musselman. And so that was 1996. And I have enjoyed the fellowship since then and been learning a lot. But I am thankful for the friendship, that is for sure. I'm glad to be on this afternoon.
Well, I sure thank you. And you've been a tremendous blessing to me. I want to ask you then, how is it, how did you first start to become a believer in the Authorized Bible, being the literal Word of God, the King James Bible?
I think growing up, when you hear the gospel, which I was accustomed to hearing when I was younger, and you put your faith in Christ, really there's no reason to question that we have the Word of God. You know, and when I came back in to church, 20, 21 years old, it was just, I one very specific instance, somebody stood up and read a portion of scripture, a verse that was encouraging to them, and I'm following along in my Bible. It was different. And so that was just, out of pure curiosity, I asked them, at the end of the service, it was Wednesday night prayer service. I said, I was just wondering what, I said, you read that verse. It was different than what I have here. And he said, I got this new Bible. It's really great. It's easier to understand. And it was a new international version. And so I said, okay. Well, I walked away and I don't know, 2-3 days I'm thinking about that. It just didn't seem right. I mean, having a construction background, being in carpentry, there's standards for everything. It just didn't sit well. And so I asked a few questions, started asking around, found out, there is an issue. Over 200 English Bibles have been put out and produced, and I went after it. I actually did go buy, and I had a King James Bible. I went and bought a New International Version, an NIV. It was copyrighted in 1978, and I bought a New American Standard Bible. It was copyrighted in 1983. One was Nelson's, one was Thompson's, and so I started. One of comparison, I spent probably 6 months, in the evenings and just the study time, just doing a verse by verse comparison, notebooks full of information, and it was amazing. So you talk to different people every time a subject comes up, it's interesting, because in your heart, you put your faith in God. He says He's given us His Word, and you read it over and over and over. He says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver trying the furnace of earth, and the words of the Lord endure. Forever, every word of God is pure, and then the deeper you get into the studying, the simpler it gets, and that it's just amazing. But to know that there's, that we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Such powerful claims that the word of God has, and then to know in John chapter 12, we're actually going to be judged by the words of God, and so. It's a serious issue, and to see that now all the changes, and it's been now over 24 years that I've been studying the Word of God, and in my personal life, enjoying that. Been preaching now for 15 years, pastoring the church there, and the more I study this subject, the more passionate I get about it, because you learn that it's not only, and there's so many people that don't even know it's an issue. They have a New American Standard Bible. They have these versions. They hear their preachers and teachers say, "Well, this is an unfortunate translation, or this should have been interpreted this way." They don't even know how deep the issue is. But we understand that the Bible does say that many antichrists will come, and they're going to deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. These modern versions attack Christ all the way through them.
Yeah,
and I have learned through the years. Yes.
In about 100 places, they take the names of Jesus out. We repeat that, and we've been giving out papers for years that give the exact references. And with all the other corruptions that are put into these things, it's really, really bad. I wanted to ask you this. What do you think about these preachers that are on radio and television that are constantly correcting the King James? Could you comment on that?
Yeah, I'm sure there's different levels. Some people just repeat what they've heard because they hear a man or a movement and they're attached to it. And so for tradition, sentimental value, they may just repeat what they've heard because they rather than study it out themselves, they rely on their teachers, and which is not good. I don't agree with that. But really, at the very root of the issue, somewhere along the line, somebody's being influenced by the devil himself, because the attack against the Word of God is a serious matter. Now, there are some that would put reproach on the issue, and they don't even want to talk about it. But there have been many that would correct the scriptures, because that's what they've been trained to do. That's how they've been brought up. But when they're confronted with the truth of these issues and they start looking at the material and researching the scriptures, they come to it. They change. And so I guess the first thing is the red flag goes up for me as soon as somebody starts correcting. I know there's an issue, but I have found that some are doing it out of ignorance, and that with a little bit of Bible study, there have been many that have strengthened a conviction on the Word of God, the King James Bible. There are others that as soon as you approach them on the issue, they just shut you off and they don't even want to deal with it. And then so then you realize there's a bigger problem than that.
Excuse me just a minute. Let's give that number out again, the phone number.
All right, that's 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673 if you've got a question for Bruce or Pastor Huth.
All right, thank you. You know, I think another reason, preacher, too, sometimes with pastors, it's too bad, but Jesus said about the people in his day, you love the honor that comes from one another, therefore you cannot hear my words. And as I study this subject, part of it is a heart issue, you know. Your heart can control what you think. And that's what's going on here, I am sure, many times. And, you know, the devil came to Adam and Eve and said to them, yea, hath God said. And then the devil says, you'll be wise as the gods, knowing good and evil. So he told him, you'll be wise. And sometimes when they hear scholarship in science, they don't talk about which scholars are talking about. They just say scholars say, you know, and with that, the whole herd snorts three times and run violently over the cliff. And they have followed the teachings of these two rascals, Westcott and Hort, who were evolutionists, spiritualists. They kind of messing with demons and so on, you know, and they put together a text, it's called the New Testament, the original Greek, and of course it was original with them. It sure didn't come from the apostles. But let me ask you some, can you give me some reasons now why you believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God? Because you've been teaching that at Heritage Baptist Institute at Cleveland Baptist Church this last semester, and I'm sure you did a great job.
Well, well, I don't know about my ability to teach, but the material sure stands for itself. Most of the evidence that I rely on is internal, going right back to the Word of God itself, and so spiritual things, comparing spiritual with spiritual. And so the subject of the Word of God, God never questions it himself. And so it was always, thus saith the Lord, all the way through the scriptures. And as you mentioned earlier in the program, the prophecy that God did all the way through from Genesis and all the way through the Old Testament, the prophecies that he gave concerning the future of the nation of Israel. And then even far beyond the recording of the New Testament into even modern day history. Right now, today, we're seeing some of these prophecies fulfilled consistently and accurately. And the evidence that the Word of God, every prophecy that has come to pass perfectly, just as God said, is an extreme internal evidence. The multiple scriptures that would refer to the Word of God enduring forever, living forever, and that the words of the Lord are pure and they're tried. And so the internal evidence is where I rely on. And simply because the entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding to the simple. And so when somebody approaches the issue of the scriptures, and so we could read a lot of materials, and there are a lot of good materials available. A lot of people have put some good study helps us understand textual history, which is important. A lot of times we see the changes in the modern Bibles, and somebody would say, well, why did they make that change? Well, if you look at the source, whether it would be Westcott and Hort, Nestle's A-Land, all the way back to Origen himself, what these men believed is reflected in the changes that they made. So the textual history is very important as well. But the internal evidence is to me the greatest, because the Word of God is quick and powerful. And so when somebody reads it, and then when they read for themselves that Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall endure forever. And so that does something inside the heart. This is God saying, I've not given my word into the hands of men. I'm not relying on the intelligence or the faithfulness or the consistency or the or anything that man has. God says, I've given my word and I will keep it. And so I really base my faith internally on the Word of God itself.
Okay, thank you very much. We have a question here that came up, and you can call in. Would you give that number again?
Right, it's 888-677-9673.
All right. The question was saying, asking about the man, his voice was taken away when they were discussing the Word of God. Well, there's a show on that's on Sunday night, and do you remember that fellow's name that's on? I can't think of his name right now, but he has a show on apologetics, and it's generally pretty good. But he had people that believe that we have the Word of God today in the King James Bible. He had it on, and some of the other translators that were on, and so both sides were there. And he said to them, he said to one of the translators, he said, do you think Ripplinger's statement, what do you think about it? Because she has shown that a number of the translators lost their voices. And like in Zechariah lost his voice when he didn't believe, because he didn't believe God's word. And right there, the person that he asked about it right away, all of a sudden says, I can't speak. He lost his voice right on the spot in front of witnesses. And so I don't remember that man's name, but there's a number of witnesses there of that situation. Okay. Yes. You know, it's an interesting thing. I mentioned this too, and Dr. Logsdon was Pastor Moody Church, and he was part of the committee that made up the new ASV, or the promoter of it, New American Standard Version. And after it had come out, he began to study it and saw all the changes that were made in it. And it comes from a corrupt text. And so it comes from Nestle's 23rd edition, which is a corrupt text. And so he told Lachman, who had put it out, and he said, I want to talk to you about this translation. He says, I'm afraid we're in big trouble with God. Lachman says, well, he said, I'm going on my honeymoon, but when I come back, I'll talk to you about it. Well, Lachman didn't come back with the bride. He came back in a box, and he died. And God had killed Uzzah for just touching the ark that had the Word of God in it. And Jesus Christ is involved. The Lord Jesus Christ, his last words are warning people about adding or subtracting from the Bible, his very last words. And that's why this is the issue today. The last issue before Christ comes back is, where is God's word? And so that's what we're talking about in this program. And we know today that it is in the authorized King James Bible. It's been mentioned already that God's word is powerful. You see, when Whitfield came over with the King James Bible to America, America was turned upside down. Finney was another evangelist that God powerfully used. And Finney said he never felt qualified to correct it, and he used it, and God blessed him. Charles Spurgeon called people that corrected it popelings. D.L. Moody started out with a class of ragamuffins in England, ended up having a revival at Oxford where 100 people went, students went as missionaries. And so all the way along, God has shown where it is in his word. The words that it talks about, the Holy Bible, are found and describes it. And the King James Bible fits the description that is given. Well, we're so glad to be with you. And our engineer is telling us that our time is just about up.
You got a little over a minute. You got a caller as well.
And if you like to call, and we have a caller, we'll try to answer you in just a minute if we can.
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah, the King James is theologically compromised. That's a fact.
Okay, that's your idea. But the Word of God tells us that thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. And the Authorized King James is based on a text that has come down to us from Christ and the apostles, based on 99% of the evidence. And so we thank you, caller, for calling in, but we got to close at this time, and we'll talk to you afterwards if you'd like to talk. Okay, God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.